sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Sex Matters. Period.
What?
What?
Really?
Sex matters?
Why? How? I don't understand. What?
To whom does sex matter? Not me. I would never think of such a thing.
You say the S word?
Right.
No way.
We don't talk about sex here.
Right.
Yes.
So today, I was just tossing around how disruptive the phone can be in a relationship. And I just wanted to mention the mental mindfuck of what you're doing. If you've ever considered what an orgy is like, right? Have you ever been in an orgy?
No.
What is an orgy? An orgy. Orgy is more than two, right?
Right.
Less than what?
Could be as many as whatever.
I don't think so.
I sort of see it as anything two or more, and then there's a house full of people, depending on where you're right.
So when a lot of people are like, no, I'd never do that. Never, ever, ever in a million years would I participate in such debauchery, right? However, every day we go to bed, most of us have our phone chargers right next to the bed and our phones plugged in right next to the bed. And we go to bed at night, we check our phone, we put our phone down, we get up to pee in the middle of the night, we check our phone to see what's happening on Facebook, we tweet, we do whatever, and in the morning, the very first thing before we even say good morning to our spouse, partner, play partner, whatever this beautiful naked body is that's next to me, we pick up the phone and check it.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the concept of that? How many people are we actually allowing into our bedroom when we bring our phone to bed?
Right. It certainly breaks that connection or that sacred, maybe sacred's the wrong word, but it isn't.
A sanctuary. It's sacred. Yeah, of course.
Of between what's going on there, mental, physical, all of that, right?
Being present.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it takes away from the moment. It takes away from that. It breaks that connection, right? So then, yeah, you are opening this floodgate of voices, in a sense, coming in and interrupting.
Yeah. So, a couple months ago, I decided that I wasn't going to bring my phone into the bedroom anymore. That I wanted my bedroom, regardless of whether I'm sleeping by myself or with my partner, I wanted to create a space where I could rest. And for people who have trouble like sleeping or whatever, this is sleep is a basic need. I think sex is a basic need too, but that's arguable. Sometimes I think you need to have more sleep in order to want sex. I think that it's a basic need beyond, you know. So in order to sleep better, I needed to remove my phone. I had already taken the step to put my phone on vibrate for several months before that. So I was taking baby steps to wean off of my phone. because my phone used to be, the word trigger is so overused these days, but I was so attached to my phone waiting for the kids to, what if my mom needs me? What if this, what if something about business comes through? You know, like I'm so, it's like, it's my brain. It's my second brain. And for a man, it's like their third brain, you know? But I keep so many thoughts in there and with writing my books and stuff, I keep a journal in there and I don't want to lose it because I've lost phones. So I'd carry it with me like it was a baby, you know, and I'd put it to bed next to me on my nightstand. And I really wanted to change that pattern because I felt like it was intruding. It was intruding on my ability to be connected authentically. Mm-hmm. Because my phone is literally an extension of me, right? Mm-hmm. If I say it's my second brain, right. What's contained in this phone is important to me, but it's not me. Okay. So I have the ability to put it down, to put it away, to shut it off, whatever. Right. So I shut the ringer off for 2 months, and then I had to retrain all of the people in my life who had gotten me, had trained me to be responsive to their texts, to be responsive to their demands, whatever, to their phone calls. And I switched it and I just said, nope, I'm not attached to my phone the way most people are. And I check my phone in my time when I have free time. I check my phone when it's convenient for me. And I'll get back to you, you know, that kind of a thing. Sort of like back to the old days when the phone was on the wall of the house. And if you, you know, if you went to bed at night and the phone was in the kitchen, you know, if it rang, you answered it. You knew that there was something wrong. That's how I was trained. If somebody calls you in the middle of the night, there's a death or there's something wrong, you have to answer the phone.
Right.
Right. Anyhow, so shut the phone off. And then I decided to put the phone in my office. So it plugs in my office and I have to physically get out of bed and come in and get my phone in the morning while I drink my tea and scroll through. But by then I've already said good morning to my husband. I've made coffee. I've made tea. I've let the dog out. You know, I'm starting to think I've set my intentions for the day. My intentions aren't skewed by what I've seen in the first 5 seconds I'm awake. Mm-hmm. Isn't that impactful, right? Mm-hmm. You're not, before you go to bed, you're not looking at pictures of scantily clad women on Twitter or something like that and thinking that you're not good enough. Mm. You're not reading a political article that pisses you off and splashes right. the romance or the intimacy, or you get into an argument about an issue that's come to a friend of yours who's maybe a drama person who's bringing you into their drama, and then you get into an argument about it because how are you letting her do, you know, whatever.
Right.
There's all this negativity that just gets transferred by your phone, and you're bringing that into your sacred space, your sanctuary, your love zone, your sexual sanctuary. And that's all I can think of. It's just like, I don't know. I love my bed and my room being a special place.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you take your phone to bed?
I don't like to have my phone by me, and sometimes I will even actually unplug my router.
Oh.
Just to not have so much energy crap going through my house.
That's very aware.
What's that?
That's very aware.
I don't know. I was trying to figure out if it was causing me problems sleeping, and even if it's causing me problems sleeping, it's probably not great to have there anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's very close to my bed. My apartment is small. Mm-hmm. And so all of that is just too close for my comfort. But so I will do that. And when I do that, people can still reach me via my phone, but I have to remember to turn it on like low battery. And there have been times I just put it on airplane mode, which was a bad idea because then I had no house phone because I still have an actual landline and no easy access to my cell phone, right? I'd have to, you know. So I don't know how I feel about all of that, but I like the idea. My apartment is small, and so there is like hardly a space for my bedroom. Like it's a nook. Mm. I love the idea of having a bedroom that is the colors I want, the space I want, and have it have that feeling of just simplicity and sparseness, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah. That
what happens here is sex or love.
Well, or peace.
Or peace.
And sleep.
Or bliss.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, just those things that you walk in the room and you're like, I just want to lay down and
feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I love that concept. You know, I've never been like the frilly girl. Like, I remember seeing the canopy beds. And what I liked about that was almost more of the fort concept. Yeah. It wasn't the lacy, pretty things. It was like, you know,
I liked the ones with the mosquito netting around. I always
yes!
very romantic and just kind of sexy and stuff.
It just, it's like this little place.
Cocoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The closest I've got to that is, I don't know, have you ever been to the fantasy suites in the Twin Cities, if they even still exist?
No.
Mm-mm. There was a spaceship room that had a space-like thing, spaceship that you crawled into.
My God.
A round mattress. And yeah, and that's like the closest to sort of, well, actually, that's not true. It kind of is true just because it was more smaller and round and like you're in a ball.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bedroom once that was literally the size of the king bed. Like the king bed was on all
the whole
sides.
Room. Yeah.
So you weren't going to fall off very easily, which was nice, but, but yeah, no, I've always wanted to sleep in those types of places or like a tree house or things like that they're intriguing to me.
Yeah. So if you're unplugged and you don't have your phone, mm-hmm. And you make that choice. I make that choice. Now, when I was single, let me say that my phone, if I could have downloaded an app that made it into a vibrator, it would have been perfect because I'd had it with me everywhere. I would have just sanitized it whenever I needed to, whatever. I don't care. But I mean, it was my world when I was single because I was sexting and I was matching and I was on, you know, doing my social things and it was important then, but now in a relationship, it's different. And I want to look at that even a little further because my husband has not decided to put his phone out of the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So dun, 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 we get into, well, why not? You know, and it's not really, I'm not all about like going into his phone. I don't have any need to know what he's doing or to invade his privacy in his phone. It's just, it's something he desires, he wants to keep. But for a lot of people, that would be a real red flag, and it would be a hot button for jealousy. Mm-hmm. And I never really have to worry. Well, I say I don't have to worry. He's recently taken up playing this Star Trek game on his phone, and it's taking every waking minute that I'm not entertaining him. He is on his phone playing Star Trek. And
the joys of gaming.
So when we talk about jealousy, there can be jealousy of other people. There can be jealousy of other people's attention. There can be jealousy of games. There can be jealousy of all different kinds of stuff. We're in a technology world. I mean, we can't deny the fact that people really use their phones for a lot of different things. And there are some applications on the phones like Kick and Snapchat and WhatsApp, and there's a whole bunch of other ones that instantly delete conversations. And you know, we were chatting about it a little before we started recording, that to me, those are alerts to some sort of secrecy or some sort of integrity thing that's going on, where perhaps the person isn't living their most authentic life. And so I wanted to explore that a little bit with you and see what you think. And not necessarily in a place from a place of jealousy, as far as I'm concerned with my husband, but in the case of, say, a couple where a guy is perhaps flirtatious or a woman is flirtatious and is in these community, on these community type apps where their conversations get deleted right away.
Right.
What would you assume the purpose of that is?
You
have a little different perspective, right?
Yeah. Well, I try to think of where would that be an appropriate thing? Like where could that be appropriate? Like, I can see if you are in a relationship where, say, say you're in one way I can think of it, maybe, and I'm not even sure I agree with myself yet. if you're in an
we'll open, sort it out.
Right, exactly. If you're in, like, say, an open relationship or some sort of relationship where one of you has the freedom to move about the cabin or other people's cabins, but the other person doesn't want to know about it, right? So maybe there's a reason there, but I would also say then don't look on the other person's phone.
Right.
Right. Like, if you really don't want to know about it,
why would you look?
Right. Although if you have some distrust in a situation, maybe there's, you know, maybe that's why a person might look. And I'm thinking of a situation where you have an agreement that you're not going to go out with X person, or you're not going to have a relationship with X person, and you do, and you know, so maybe there's some reason for the open relationship to be iffy.
There's an insecurity around trust or around integrity or there's jealousy feelings, perhaps. Jealousy is a root in fear of rejection, fear of failure or loss, you know.
Right. And I don't know, maybe if you're, I don't know what the real reason would be. Like, I don't know what a good reason would be, because I'm thinking if you are playing, what's the word I want to look, what say here? If you are, so yeah, nothing really comes down to me to go, yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, that's a good thing.
Why I think that I'm resolved to, because I've thought about this. I mean, yeah. I participated in all of those applications as a single person. So I know why. And then even after that, when I started dating my husband, I still had a couple of, it's conversational, you know, it's a lot of conversation it's supposed to be for a quick conversation. I get that. Mm-hmm. You can do that through text.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just text?
Right.
Because you don't want to trail. Mm-hmm. Why don't you want to trail? Because I don't want somebody else to see how I responded to that or what I thought about that or how I talked to that person. Or I don't want to be questioned about the intent behind. So there's a sense of guilt. Right. And guilt implies participation in something that's wrong.
Right. And, well, okay. So I'm thinking of somebody who, say you are trying to work your way out of being maybe you've been sexually sort of like really closed in most of your life where everything is bad, whatever, you know what I mean? It's, there's a lot of shame and you're working a way out of that by playing with that. And
through conversation,
like
learning your boundaries or taking it as an educational tool.
Right. Where you maybe are doing that, but you're not sure how you feel. You're not going out to be mean to somebody, right? Like, it's not a tool of being disrespectful is a tool of self-exploration. So maybe having that go away, that conversation go away, and it's not in a permanent record somewhere, maybe feels safer that you can explore that, and then you can kind of figure out where you were. Snapchat is, or not Snapchat, what is one of those, what that comes with pictures, where you can take pictures and send the pictures and the picture disappears?
Snapchat.
Okay. So you can clear, see how much experience I have with these. So I can imagine if you wanted to take a sensual or sexual picture, but you didn't want, I mean, granted, somebody could screen grab it.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to send it, you didn't want it permanently on their phone. So
what's the intention? Again, we're talking about in a relationship.
That's true. Where you trust. Okay. You trust the person. So let's say you trust the person. Because if you're in a new relationship, you want to share the picture, but you don't want them to keep it forever because you don't know. There's still bad. Trusted relationships can still go bad.
Sure, of course.
And maybe you're just not comfortable. Or maybe you're a teacher. And you know, if that picture got found, your job or something like that. That kind of thing would be the one place that I could see, you know, enjoy this for a second. But that's all you get. I don't know.
It's good for teasing it for sure. And it's good for, teasing is in the single life, there's definitely applications for that. My fear is, and when I say fear, I mean fear for humanity, is that you get addicted to the attention.
Yes. I think that's fair.
And then in your bored moments in your relationship, in the quiet moments while you're sitting in bed before you go to sleep, you're looking to be stimulated by somebody else other than your partner.
Yep. No, I think that is absolutely a concern, is that you always have to have something else. But there's always the idea of feeling good about yourself. But there's the question of, like you say, are you going and seeking it so much? And is that a healthy thing?
Right.
You know, and if it's not an honest thing in your relationship too, that can be.
Because, you know, the way the whole conversation started was we were talking about it, you know, in the bedroom.
Right.
And that it brings extra people into your love life, into your sex life.
Yep.
Or it creates the air of insecurity. Or a place for anger and resentment to come in. Because a lot of, I hear it a lot from my clients that, you know, boy, if he paid as much attention to me as he pays to his phone.
Yes.
Or, you know, he obviously can use his fingers for his phone. Why can't he operate my clit? You know, if he put as much attention into this as he does to that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it happens both ways. And the fear is that, remember too, that men are oftentimes, not always, but mostly wired visually. Mm-hmm. And females are mostly wired emotionally and connection based. Mm-hmm. So if women are getting attention consistently from someone other than their partner, spouse in a committed relationship, it leaves the door cracked for an affair. Men, same thing. If they are having a conversation with somebody on Snapchat and some girl is sending them pictures of her tits and her butt or other things, or giving him attention visually through a quick hit or a quick text or whatever else, that is enough to stimulate that part of his mind where it's creating the crack for an affair or discontent. So I'm just throwing it out there because I think about these things in my own life. Mm-hmm. And then I like to pass them on because I can't possibly be the only one who thinks about this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I just want to know, like, what other people think about, you know, are you protective of your phone?
Not really.
I see. I have a passcode on my phone only because, like, if my grandson is here or something, I don't want him accidentally hitting my photo button and going into all my naughty pictures that are for my husband and such, you know.
I so, Yeah, no, I'm protective about it in that I always want to know where it is because there's just too much of my life is connected and I don't want to spend the money on finding another one and just the process of going through all of that. You know what I mean? It's the losing it. It is. And for when I've had jobs where I've got HIPAA information on my phone, I'm also protecting other people's, and I do have a passcode on my phone too. So it's that kind of stuff. I tend to have some sensitive information about other people on my phone sometimes, which is not like a big deal, but it's a big deal, you know? So right. I'm protective that way. It has become a weird extension of yourself. Like, and that I was having a conversation with somebody who was in the process of losing weight. So she had taken some pictures of herself. I never saw them, so I don't fully know if they were fully nude or if they were like, you know, undergarments or just very tight clothes that she wasn't comfortable with the world seeing. And, you know, so she said she'd handed off her phone and she's like, okay, you can look, but when you get to, you know, X picture before that, make sure you stop. Right. And trusted that person to do so. It's brave because, you know, some people would just keep going because you told them not to, or you asked them not to. I don't know. I'm not really, there's not a whole lot on my phone that, but at the same time, there are things on my phone that other people probably wouldn't understand. So it would create confusion where it's like, there's just no need and it's just not a big deal. So I don't think I'm super protective, but I am more protective about knowing where it is and not losing it. Cause I just don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for that. Nobody got time for that.
I hear you. I hear you. I just, I don't know. I think it is I'm going to get in some trouble and I like to stir the soup. I think it's a valid place for people to have concerns. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of freedom in having access to the internet at the whim of our fingers, wherever we have Wi-Fi. There's a whole lot of freedom. And in the constraints of a relationship without clearly communicated expectations and what's expected boundary-wise as far as the relationship goes, I think that's a conversation to have. I think it's a conversation to have about I think I'm going to be having a conversation with my husband about putting his phone out of the bedroom at night and just because he doesn't need to have it near his head. It's sort of like what you're talking about with not having all that energy stuff zapping around near you while you're sleeping. He has trouble sleeping as it is. So why would you have that there as a distraction? Why would you have the phone lighting up every time you get a text? Why would you, you know what I mean? Like, why are you getting texts at 3:00 in the morning? That kind of a thing. He has all these alerts and notifications that, you know, the banks, the credit cards, the this, that, the other thing, they send you messages all hours of the day. They don't
care.
And you can't predict when that's going to come through. So that blue light on his screen is popping up all night long. And if I was an insecure person, I could be sitting there thinking, what the fuck?
Right.
Who's he talking to? Why do they think they can text him? I know that that's not what it is.
Right.
But for someone who has some insecurity around that, it's a legitimate thing.
And it eats at you.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, ideally ideally you want to have enough trust in your relationship. So it's just not an issue.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think that insecurity is about trusting your relationship or do you think it's about trusting yourself?
Well, I don't know. I think that's an interesting question because I think it certainly can be about trusting yourself. And I certainly see, you know, I see evidence of people who like accuse their partner of cheating, end up being the ones that who are doing the cheating. Mm-hmm. I also see situations where trust has been broken and then that trust is not really re-earned. So the person has insecurity while they're trying to build trust. And if the person keeps breaking the trust, I don't necessarily think, I don't know. I think that you know, that is about being in your is the person you're in a relationship in their integrity. So if they're not in their integrity and you want to know that, because if you always trust your person to be in integrity and they're not, you get a really wicked slap in the face at some point, right?
Yeah.
So,
and then, but then you have to trust yourself to take action.
Right.
I think it all, it still comes back to sexual authenticity. I think that insecurity, especially in the bedroom, especially around the area of relationships and stuff, all comes down to us owning our power and trusting our intuition to be able to make a move if we need to. So many of us are attached to not only our phones, but we're attached to the outcome. We're attached to the relationship. We're attached to our habits. We're attached to our insecurities, that we're not trusting enough of ourselves to make the moves that are healthy for us.
Yeah. No, that's a true, it's a complex statement, but it's a true statement.
It is. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bomb. I'm sorry.
Well, no, but right. But it's, yeah, it's a complex thing because there's so many things that go into relationships sometimes that keep somebody staying longer than they want to. Right.
Yeah. Which is a good lead into our series that's going to be coming up.
Yes,
right?
Very true. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to be talking about in the future, we're going to be putting together a series around knowing where you're at in a relationship, yes, knowing when it's time to call it quits, knowing how to do that in an adult manner, and then what to do afterwards. So I'm super excited about that. Not that I want people to break up, but I want people to move into their most happy, authentic selves. And sometimes that means creating space, because in space we grow. So if your relationship isn't working for you, if he's married to his phone or she's, you know, constantly attached to her phone, and it's a serious cause for concern, you can't work through it, there's total jealousy and breakdown there, you don't trust him or her, it may be a time to look at your values, some of your relationship values, your personal values, your romantic values, and see how you line up, how your relationship measures up to your values, and lean into your intuition and trusting yourself to make a change that's right for you. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm always available if you're interested as a sexual authenticity coach, that if you have any questions around anything that we talked about today, if you're having serious insecurity problems, or you are seriously jealous, or you're attached to somebody who's seriously jealous, we need to peel back why and get to the root and have you step into your power. So feel free to reach out to me about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. They have put a whole different world, you know, I mean, like you say, it's a threesome for many people, right? And thinking about that in the relationship, and and I mean, I know there are times when emergencies or whatever happen, but you know, I've heard stories of the whole, you know, we just got done having sex and he reached for his phone, or
oh my gosh.
I've heard of, you know, and it's like not even like just taking that moment of like just being, and it's like, reach up, grab the phone, or I've heard of guys talk about that's how, when they're in a new relationship, or they're in a relationship that they, maybe it's a one night stand type of thing, or they are in a sexual relationship, but they want to keep it sexual. That's the way that they kind of keep control of that. Remind her how much she has one place and one place only by looking at his phone that
power.
Lets her know, you know, and it's like, you know, you can.
It's a power exchange, totally.
Right. And you can be in a relationship with somebody in a sexual only or focused relationship and still treat them fully like a human being.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you don't have to
degrade.
Yeah, exactly. And make them feel, you can instill joy, enjoy the after sex bliss, even if that is what the relationship is about. Right. So it's a tool, I think, that gets used sometimes, and sometimes people obviously don't even realize. And because people, you know, it's an addicted connectedness, or sometimes you have legit things, but it still is overwhelming. So yeah, I think it's a big topic.
Yes, I totally agree. as I check my phone. I'm sorry.
I love it.
I'm busted.
So, that's awesome.
Anyway, well, no, I just, little things can really creep into a relationship and impact them in a big way. And right. not even saying that phones are a little thing, because they've become such a tremendous part of our everyday living nowadays. So it's mm-hmm. becoming more and more obvious that they're here to stay. They're not going anywhere until we get to the next level where we're walking around, we have a microchip in our neck and we can see everybody's vital statistics in front of us while we're walking or something like they have in the movies.
Right.
That's like what I see for our future. I watch Star Trek with my husband and they don't carry around cell phones. They've got the little comms on their chest, you know,
yes.
they want to talk to somebody or the computer talks to them. I wonder if that's what our existence will be in the future, but how will we get away from social media and without a choice? Mm-hmm. How will we get away from these apps where we're constantly feeding our need for attention stimulation, ego stroking, all that sort of stuff without choice? We need to be in control of those things and not let them control us and affect our sex and love life.
Right. And I think your point is really valid. When you have access to the internet 24/7, it throws everything into a whole different world. And I've seen that in relationships. I've, you know, experienced where that can really break trust and really mess with your connection with that person. And that's tough.
It's almost like, as the parents, we need to have parental controls on ourselves too. Like mm-hmm. that we have our phone shut off during dinner, that we have our phone shut off when we're in the bedroom, you know, that there's no Wi-Fi zones or something. That would be a really cool thing to do, to be able to kind of boundary off your house without relocating where you put the router. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
you could just have perimeters around a room and be like, oh, when I come in here, I have no signal.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, just being able to shut it off, being able to acknowledge that it's an extension of you. It's not you.
Right.
So, yeah.
We went for a drive on Easter Sunday and found ourselves in an area that had no cell connection. And it was like, oh,
what do we do with this? Where's the map?
I didn't even know that part of the world that still existed.
Do they still make maps? Oh my God.
I think they do. I think maps are still a thing. Yeah. I know, but it was the whole, what do I do when it's not in my hand?
Right.
You know, right. And there's no gas stations around, because if you're not getting cell signal, you are out in the middle of nothing.
And it was
Easter Sunday.
That's where people panic, because yep. if they don't feel like they're connected to the World Wide Web, to right. all of the people that make up who they are or where they are in their life, they're without a compass and they don't yeah. know where to go or what to do. We need some basic skills like communication, interpersonal skills, problem solving, things like that are really, really important. And even more so in the bedroom, if you ask me.
So, right.
But
it's a good place to have some space and time and freedom away from the interwebs.
Yes, I agree. What do you think?
I think that's a nice place to wrap it up.
I think so too.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes. Look forward to the four. Do you think it'll be four series of podcasts?
Yeah, if we can keep it to four.
Right.
We get to chatting, you never know. So.
I know, right? These half-hour podcasts we were going to do together.
You just got too much to say.
Well, it's fun to explore. It's fun to explore, and there's a lot of facets. And again, mm-hmm. this is something that we were so much exploring as opposed to just have answers for.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, we sit in philosophy classes, and we pick little pieces that you can go on for hours about. People sit and do this with, you know, literature, the Bible, and various other things. Why not this? This is part of, sex is part of our life. It's part of how we interact. It's part of how we decide who we're going to, you know, marry. It's part of of this thing we put our DNA together with and make another human being. So, I mean, it's kind of important.
You mean sex matters?
Sex matters.
Period. Right? Yeah. What?
What? We'll see you all next week, these our lovely listeners. Send in those questions. And if you're hearing this, I don't know how it'll come out, but throw some, you know, if you've got some breakup questions, or when you're listening to the series that we do, you know, questions about relationships and all of that stuff. It's sex and relationships. They go together like ram-a-lam-a-lam and da-ding-a-da-ding-da-dong.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Now I'm going to be doing grease lightning all day. Thank you, Judy.
Sorry, a little earworm for your afternoon.
Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.
A few thoughts remain with me as I finish editing and closing up this podcast. I do wonder how we'd all feel if we were to sort of follow Patricia's lead on how she handles her phone with sleeping and all that fun stuff. I did find an article that I am placing in the notes of the podcast that the title is Phones Turn Bedrooms into a No-Sex Zone. And this actually has some kind of nice tips on how to maybe keep the phone away in a thoughtful manner, but also some ways to incorporate the phone in nice ways and positive ways in our relationship. I definitely think the phone has high possibility for enhancing your relationship, but I think that sadly more commonly, I know in my experience through myself and through things I hear from other people as well, that it has a more of a tendency to detract and take away from our intimacy and sexual relationships, which is a bummer. So how can we turn this powerful force into good? I was also thinking about the question Patricia asked me about my protection of my phone, and I realized I had that tested recently. And I think that my comfort is that I tend to be in environments, in trusted environments and with trusted people, so I don't have to think about it very much. Even if somebody does grab my phone to look at something, they tend to use it appropriately. And I have certainly seen situations where people really push people's boundaries and doing the keep away and looking on people's phones where they're just doing it for dramatic effect, and shows us how uncomfortable we can be. But that can just be really invasive to somebody's privacy, or they took a personal picture that doesn't even have to be sexual in nature or whatever, just personal, maybe something you have to get to your doctor. Various things. So got me thinking about my own stuff when I had my own boundaries tested, and then editing this podcast got me thinking, and it's very much situational because I am very protective on the things that are on my phone. I just don't always have to be. All right. You can find all of the podcasts on the podcast webpage, which is sexmatterspodcast.com. Remember, that's where you can ask a question, suggest a topic of conversation, get on the email list. And remember, if you do, you're going to get that email sent out to you with that PDF of daily positive sex affirmations by Patricia, which are fun and thought-provoking. Of course, while you're visiting us on the website, if you would like to support the work we're doing, you can become a patron through Patreon. Just click the red button. If you're also on the Patreon website, you can search for us as well. You can find Patricia's main website at thepowerexchange.co. That's .co. You can learn how to work with her, her classes, all the things she's got coming up. She is also pretty easy to find on Facebook as well through the Power Exchange. Her book is called Crossing the River Called Suffering. She's also got one in the works as well that is pretty exciting, hopefully to be out the next few months. You can connect with me, Judy, through my podcast as well as my other main website. If you like to explore topics around your well-being, I definitely encourage you to and invite you to visit my podcast and see if there's some exciting topics for you to explore there. Sex is something that we do cover in some episodes and just in general sometimes. Find my podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can search on iTunes, Wellness Renaissance Podcast. My main website covers some of the other things I do as well, is wellnessrenpodcast.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, enjoy the article. Some nice tips in there. I especially like the one about music. You know, we don't make mixtapes for each other anymore, but we can put together a playlist. That wasn't suggested in the article. That was my taking it to the next level. Anyway, have a good week.